The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Now we take Georgia, and then we change the world.
Yeah!
I'm sorry, can you repeat that, Mr. Schumer?
Now we take Georgia, and then we change America.
Well, the coup is nearly complete. You look at these races, these Senate races in Georgia. One of them's already been called, Warnock, in his race against Kelly Loeffler. This is he was the most radical of the two, Warnock and Ossoff. And it looks like Ossoff may well win as well. 50-50 in the Senate. All of the scandal surrounding Warnock, the second coming of Jeremiah Wright, by the way. If you compare even the numbers between this election yesterday with November the 3rd, and it's a little bit, I guess it's an unfair comparison in some respects, because in the presidential election, Warnock got 1.6 million votes, but it was a three-way race. And you had Loeffler, who had 1.2 million. And then Doug Collins, he is a strong supporter of Donald Trump. So you basically had the moderate Republican in Loeffler. You had Collins, the Trump supporter. Collins brought in 1 million votes. Loeffler brought in 1.2 million. Warnock, he brought in 1.6 million. Last night, incredibly, this radical, this extremist in Georgia, in a southern state, a red state traditionally, he increased his votes by 600,000. Evidently, all of these Trump supporters that voted for Doug Collins in the November 3rd election, they switched over to Warnock, Jeremiah Wright. Unbelievable. Stacey Abrams is beaming right now. How could she not be? She's the one that's drawn up the rules. Nobody has challenged her. She's found all of these votes from all over the world. And now look at what's happened. Schumer, I mean, you have to give him credit. They put their plans out there. They tell you what they're going to do. And if nobody challenges them, well, they'll break any law that they can on the way to fulfill their will, to impose their will on the rest of the nation. And so here come the weak Republicans, Raffensperger, Sterling. I'll play clips later. And who are they going to blame? Of course, they're going to blame Donald Trump. Of course, it's always Donald Trump's fault. First, they want Trump to come in and campaign. Now, these two candidates, by the way, they waited and waited and waited. It was the night before the election that Loeffler said, you know what? I'm going to object to the Electoral College count on January 6th. That would be today. She says, if I win, I'm going to object. And then you had Perdue. For his part, he waited till yesterday morning. And he saw that the turnout maybe wasn't as strong as he was hoping. And then he says at the last minute, I'm going to object too. Why weren't they saying that a month ago? Why weren't they saying it 2 months ago? As you have all of these voters in Georgia just furious that no one will stand up to the fraud, that no one will stand up to this lawlessness. What is it my father said? This is in the January Trumpet, the article. I'm going to refer to this a few times here today. Why Donald Trump will remain America's president. And he has a section about midway through on Israel's affliction, the sickness, the affliction in Israel. And of course, 2 Kings 14:26 speaks of this. He says, as there was anciently, there are forces afflicting Israel, seeking to bring it down. These forces attacking America today are terribly destructive. And the worst of them are within the nation. That's right. They're right here. And you know what? They're gaining power. And you wonder today with the Senate swinging toward 50-50 and everybody assuming that Joe Biden gets in, you wonder what Mitch McConnell and some of these weak Republicans are now thinking. Well, I mean, we were saying move on, move on. Okay, let's move on. Let's move on from November 3rd. And what do we get on January 5th? The same thing. The same corruption. The same fraud. You look at the way it rolled out last night. It was like an exact replay. They, in one case, they even had a pause. Here again. Well, why not? We've got to pause and see what the vote count is and see how many we need to make up and so on. There's actual video footage, just like there was from November 3rd. Watching the monitor, watching the lower third on TV, on the main news, and you see Purdue's vote count. It's at one figure, and then a few seconds later, it's 5,000 less. Only for Purdue now, not Ossoff. No, not the Democrat. It never, never happens to the Democrat. All of the glitches, all of the fraud that works in the favor of which candidate? Always. Always the Democrat. And where are the Republicans? Where are those fighting against this? Well, there's just the one, basically. There's Donald Trump. He's the last line of defense. Here you come to January 5th, this runoff election. Raphael Warnock, he goes from 1.6 million votes to 2.227 million votes. Never mind the scandals surrounding his church or even the allegations of domestic abuse. Never mind any of that. That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. He's a radical leftist. Just get him in and cheat if you have to. Stacey Abrams, what a miracle worker she is, finding all of these ballots from all over the country. That's what she did on November 3rd. And then she does it again. Remember Raffensperger after November 3rd? Now, he said November 3rd was perfect. But then remember all the 200 investigations going into the January 5th election? What about those? You going to hear about those now? You won't hear anything about those. You won't hear a word about it. Because we'll hear the same refrain. Move on. Look, we've got to move on. Everything was legit. I'm waiting for the first commentator to say this was a perfect election. It was perfect. Oh, yes. Perfect election. It's never been better. It was a replay of November the 3rd. The same exact story. Listen to Brad Raffensperger in his interview with Wolf Blitzer. I think this was about midnight last night, clip one.
Very quickly, Mr. Secretary, we're approaching midnight now. How many more, you think a few more hours they'll be counting votes tonight, or are they going to take a break?
They're probably going to take a break here, I think, in the next hour. Try and get as much work as they can done tonight, but then get everything, you know, in the, you know, at least recorded exactly how many ballots are out there, and then, you know, get as much scanning done tomorrow. Hopefully by noon, we'll have a better idea of where we are.
We'll watch it together with you. The Secretary of State of Georgia, Brad Raffensperger, thanks so much for joining us. Thanks for everything you and your colleagues are doing. We are so grateful to see democracy in action in Georgia.
Democracy in action. Oh, yes. Wolf Blitzer, he loves this. He loves Raffensperger. They love Gabriel Sterling. They're all over CNN and MSNBC. They love it. And this is the new normal. Yeah, it's midnight. They're getting a little sleepy. They've got to go get some rest. And we'll get back to it in the morning. And hopefully things will be done by noon. This is the way we do votes now in the United States. Take a break. Shut it down. That's what they did in the Chatham County. This is Democrat-leaning county. They announced that they would stop counting votes for the evening and then resume today, I guess, at 8 a.m. That's the way we do elections now in the United States. You can't, I mean, you can't count into the wee hours of the morning. Who can, I mean, they need to get their rest. So they hit the pause button, And you know that the two Republicans you go into last night, they're leading as just like it was in November 3rd. And then on come the Democrats. And now it looks like the Democrats will complete the steal. And so what is Gabriel Sterling out there saying? He's Raffensperger's right-hand man. Of course, he's going to blame Donald Trump. Here he is on CNN, clip two.
If one of the Republican candidates or both lose their seats in the Senate, who would be to blame?
Well, I'll speak for outside of my role working for the state. This is a personal opinion that'll fall squarely in the shoulders of President Trump and his actions since November 3rd.
And why do you say that?
Well, when you tell people your vote doesn't count, it's been stolen, and people start to believe that, and then you go to the two senators and tell them to ask the Secretary of State to resign and trigger a civil war inside the Republican Party, we need Republicans to unite. All of that stems from his decision-making since the November 3rd election.
And you say that this all started with his calls, the president's calls for the Secretary of State Raffensperger to resign, and you believe that he single-handedly divided the party.
Yes.
Well, it has not been easy for you. It's not been easy for him when you are so repeatedly and needlessly, ridiculously attacked by the president of the United States. If he's watching us right now, what's your message to him?
Mr. President, you already lost the state of Georgia. And the thing now is, no matter what you say, you can't undermine the people of Georgia's integrity to know the voting system works and their vote is going to count at the end of the day, one way or the other, how this election comes out.
So there's Gabriel Sterling blaming Donald Trump. You do have to wonder, when will some of these Republicans wake up and realize that blaming Donald Trump, it's not exactly a winning strategy. This is a man who legally pulled in 75 million votes. And you have these tens of thousands of Trump supporters gathering in Washington, D.C. today to stop the steal. And these Republicans, they rush to the microphone trying to win favor with people that will never vote for them, just like Donald Trump said the other day. Do you think the CNN audience is going to vote for Raffensperger? Stacey Abrams has contempt for these people. She, to this day, says Raffensperger, Sterling, They're the worst voter suppressors in the country. It doesn't matter what they do to try to please her. She still views them with contempt. And they don't come out in an interview and say, well, Stacey Abrams is to blame for this. Oh, no, they're never going to say that. It's such an easy out for them. Because they know CNN, they know Wolf Blitzer is going to pat them on the back. Oh, thank you so much for your service. It's democracy in action. You've done a perfect job. It's so easy to be weak. It's so easy to surrender to the mob. And that's what it is. A total and complete surrender to the mob. And there's only a few men standing in Israel. Donald Trump, like my father has said, he's proven himself willing to take a stand to expose this evil, to expose this corruption. And there's a few senators who are willing to take a stand today in this certification of the Electoral College votes. I think three states, but even there, I think there's easily six states that there could be objections to, but I think it was Mo Brooks. That's right. It was a Newsmax piece, and he said that, there's three states, Arizona, Georgia, and Pennsylvania, that are going to be contested today, but it should be Nevada and Michigan and Wisconsin, too. But Mo Brooks says there's too many senators that even though there's 13 on board to object, there's too many of them that just haven't done their homework. They're not prepared to state their case. Ted Cruz is going to kick things off with Arizona. That's the first one today. So much weakness, and yet I think it's safe to say, based upon this article, based upon this article in the January issue of The Trumpet, why Donald Trump will remain America's president. There's still plenty of fireworks to come over the next week and a half, 2 weeks. And these things are probably going to play out in ways that we least expect it. That's the way God works. That's the way that it always works when you're walking by faith. God says, just trust me. Just place your trust in the sure word of Bible prophecy. Go forward, like I've been saying this week. Just follow. Follow me. That's what Jesus Christ would counsel us right now. He would say, look, don't get too caught up in all of the fuzziness. Don't get too caught up in all of what the commentators are saying. This expert over here or this expert over here. Jesus would say, just follow me. Just follow in my steps. Why are you looking sideways? Why are you worried? Why did you worry? Or why did you have fear? Jesus said to Peter when he was walking on water, or used the word doubt. Why did you doubt? Just keep looking at me. Just keep following me. Just keep coming toward me. The certification process in Congress today. It starts at 1 Eastern, that's noontime, here in Oklahoma, and there's this big Trump rally in D.C. that kicks off, I believe, at 7 a.m. So, it's probably already off and going on the East Coast. And President Trump speaks at 11 a.m. Eastern time, 10 a.m. Oklahoma time. And then at 1 p.m. Eastern, Vice President Mike Pence, he opens the state electors' envelopes, tallies the votes, and then proceeds to see if there are any objections. There's lots of, I guess we could get into the weeds on this. Some of this, frankly, I don't understand perfectly myself. But I'll suffice it to say there's a lot of different things that can happen today and in the days ahead. This was from Rudy Giuliani's podcast yesterday, as he explained the significance of today's date and what's happening in Congress today, and what might he first in this clip, he gives some historical perspective. And then in a few clips later after this, you'll see him or hear him talk about what might could happen in the days ahead. First, here the context, clip 3.
January 6, 2021 will be a day that lives in history. It'll be on a par with three prior occasions where a dispute of this magnitude occurred in the selection of our president. In 1800, in the disputed election between Jefferson and Burr, where they became tied and it had to be decided in the Congress. The election of 1886 between Rutherford B. Hayes and Samuel Tilden, which ended up with the gentleman with the fewer electoral votes, Hayes, becoming the president of the United States based on a ad hoc commission that was put together to help make the decision. And then, of course, the election of 2000 between Bush and Gore, which ended up getting decided in the Supreme Court.
So that's Rudy Giuliani from his podcast yesterday. Coming back to the events of today, after Pence announces each state, the results from each state, then the reps and the representatives in the House and then the Senate have a chance to object. And as I've explained before, as one House of Representative does that, he needs a senator to join him in order to trigger a 2-hour debate or a 2-hour hearing, basically, to go over the evidence of all of this wrongdoing, of all of this fraud. And as you know, the Trump campaign has been compiling this now for 2 months, 2 months worth of evidence, even as the media all throughout have said there's no evidence. They refuse to look at it. They won't look at it. They don't look at it if it's on the other side. If Josh Hawley's, if his house gets attacked, that doesn't count. That doesn't count as violence. That doesn't count as rioting. It's only when the right does it. And so Muriel Bowser, she's sending out the National Guard to D.C. today because, well, there's Trump supporters there. They're dangerous. Never mind what happened to Josh Hawley's house. Never mind that his wife and his newborn baby were inside alone. Doesn't matter about those things, you see. You see the media, they're totally, completely one-sided. You're not going to get fair coverage. You're going to get nothing but fake news when it comes to CNN. And you see how they just worship each other practically. Thank you so much for upholding democracy, Mr. Raffensperger. And then you have Gabriel Sterling for his part saying everything that's wrong with this election cycle is because of Donald Trump. They refuse to look at evidence. They've had hearings in the Georgia state legislature. I saw a video one listener sent to us the other day, the one that zeroed in on the Fulton County, the stadium there where they, you know, all the people left and then they brought the ballots out from under the table. And it zeroed in on one desk after another. Look at what this woman's doing. She puts the stack of ballots into the machine. She goes about her business looking on her phone. Then the ballots come through. She takes the stack again. She shuffles them a little bit. She puts the same stack right back into the machine. And it happened not once, twice, three, four, and five times. It's on video. It's on video. And this guy that's explaining it says, look, I'm a lawyer. And usually when you go to court, you've got he said, she said. But if you've got the traffic violation or if you've got the crime on tape, I mean, that's open and shut. That's an obvious victory. But they refuse to look at the evidence. I think the one opportunity here for those that have been regular viewers of CNN and MSNBC. And of course, you can only imagine what they'll do today. If the evidence starts to come forward, well, we're going to have to cut away from this because we've got a more important story to cover. Or we're going to cut away from this Russian disinformation. That's the way they've been handling it to this point. One would hope, just as an American, that if evidence is brought forward today, all of this evidence that's been compiled, that America will see it. But don't bet on fair and balanced coverage from the propaganda media. Here's Ted Cruz for his part. As I said, he's going to lead the way today to object over the results from Arizona. And here he is with a not so rosy forecast, but nevertheless, he's stating what his view is on the process that's going to play out today. Clip 7.
And what I'm calling for is an emergency 10-day audit. Just audit the results, consider the claims, look at the evidence, and by doing it in 10 days, we can complete it before January 20th, before the presidential inauguration. And I think that would help provide much greater faith and confidence in the election than simply charging forward and saying whatever the results are, whatever the fraud was, we're going to certify anyway. I hope Congress doesn't do that. But right now, based on the public statements, it sure seems that's the direction the votes are going.
Well, and you wonder if some of them might rethink their position, given what happened last night in Georgia, and considering what Chuck Schumer said several weeks ago. We take Georgia and we conquer the world. We change America. Fundamental transformation. That's what the Antiochus administration promised. They love it. They're sitting back. It's working out perfectly. The coup is nearly complete. We've nearly completed this. Now we've got Warnock and Ossoff in there. Now we've got Kamala Harris heading up the Senate. Now we've got a new Senate majority leader. And then we've got the puppet out front. Vice President Biden, the fake president, it's all in place. Pence, there's some debate as to how much power Vice President Pence has as the president over the Senate today. Some would say it's mostly ceremonial. There's others that are saying, like Ted Cruz was pointing out, that he can insist on a 10-day audit, which would I mean, if that were to happen today, and I'm not saying that it will, but if it were to happen today, you're going to see heads explode on CNN and elsewhere. And that's, as Ted Cruz brought out, that would be totally, totally fair. When you've got so many in the country thinking that this was an absolute and total steal from the beginning, how much power he has, I guess, remains to be seen. President Trump has been out there urging him, as I played for you in a clip yesterday. He said even on the rally speech Monday evening that he hopes that President or Vice President Pence will come through. This is what he tweeted earlier this morning. It says, if Vice President Mike Pence comes through for us, we will win the presidency. Many states want to decertify the mistake they made in certifying incorrect and even fraudulent numbers in a process not approved by their state legislatures, which it must be. Mike can send it back. And you've already got this this statement coming from the Pennsylvania Senate saying, look, those electoral votes should not have been certified. That was sent to Mitch McConnell in Congress yesterday from the Pennsylvania Senate. And then there's this New York Times story today talking about how that Vice President Pence supposedly told Donald Trump that, well, I don't have the power to change the election result. That's produced in the New York Times, which right away you have to question whether that's actually legit or if it's fake news. President Trump came out last night and said that's totally fake. What you saw in the New York Times, he said this: the New York Times report regarding comments Vice President Pence supposedly made to me today is fake news. He never said that. The Vice President and I are in total agreement that the Vice President has the power to act. So some interesting comments from the president last night. Out on the stump, you would think that he and Vice President, that he didn't know where Vice President Pence stood. But this statement last night, well, that's quite interesting. You think about, again, what would Mitch McConnell think given what happened in Georgia again last night? You have to wonder what Vice President Pence is thinking as well, because he has political ambitions also. Is he going to join Gabriel Sterling and say, you know, the problem is Donald Trump and all of his 75 million voters? We'll see. The president's statement, it says, the November 3rd election was corrupt in contested states. And in particular, it was not in accordance with the Constitution in that they made large-scale changes to election rules and regulations as dictated by local judges and politicians, not by state legislators. This means that it was illegal. Does the Constitution matter? Do these state constitutions matter? Do election laws matter? It says, finally, our vice president has several options under the U.S. Constitution. He can decertify the results or send them back to the states for change and certification. He can also decertify the illegal and corrupt results and send them to the House of Representatives for the one vote for one state tabulation. So it looks like it could go in one of those two directions. And again, I know there's plenty of people out there that look at Mike Pence and think that he's just another one from the Republican establishment. He's just another one from the weak Republican base. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But he does, I think, in his statement, the president, I mean, he does, I think, accurately say that this could go in a couple of different directions. There is still time. Coming back to Rudy Giuliani and his podcast from yesterday, listen to him talk about what might could happen in the days ahead. Here's clip four.
There is a good chance that this election will end up in the hands of the House of Representatives. And there's a really good chance it'll end up in the Supreme Court. Because if any of these decisions that are made that either Republicans or the Democrats believe are unconstitutional, then they're going to take it right to the Supreme Court. and the Supreme Court's going to be asked to decide if it's constitutional or not. And then the Supreme Court has to decide, should it take the case? Is this a political question that should be decided by the political branches of government, or is it a kind of fundamental constitutional law question that should be resolved by the court? And that probably will be the subject of a different podcast if we get to that point.
That's Rudy Giuliani yesterday, the president's attorney. Now, I would refer you again to that article in the January issue of the Trumpet magazine. My father spends a fair – Rudy's talking about the possibility of it going to the House of Representatives, each state having one vote, which would favor the president. But before that, I would just say keep your eyes on the state legislators. The state legislatures, like in Pennsylvania, the action that they took yesterday, the letter that they sent to Congress, this is from RightScoop. It says the leader was signed by the president pro tempore and majority leader of the Pennsylvania Senate, as well as two other senators that may be in leadership roles, after they lay out how the legislature's authority was usurped by state officials and the rogue state Supreme Court in the letter. This is what they're requesting of Congress. So this is what the Pennsylvania, this again, it's the Republican legislature, but this is what they're requesting of Congress. It says from their letter, members, we ask for more time given the fact that the U.S. Supreme Court is to hear Trump versus Brockvar, that's the Pennsylvania Secretary of State, in the coming days. We ask that you delay certification on the Electoral College to allow due process as we pursue election integrity in our Commonwealth. And so I guess Vice President Pence would have the authority to following on what Ted Cruz suggested, and I think Jenna Ellis has been out there saying the same thing. He has that authority to call for the delay, the 10-day audit. Here again is Rudy Giuliani from last night, clip 5.
But don't be surprised if this also not only ends up in the House of Representatives, but it ends up in the Supreme Court. And the reason you might be surprised is because many of you who just watch sort of the general media maybe don't realize how serious these objections are. These are very, very serious objections with a very substantial amount of evidence behind them. Large numbers of affidavits, large numbers of witnesses that have already testified, mostly censored and not presented to you, the public, because the big media, the big press, big tech, big corporations, and the crooked level of the Democratic Party are keeping this information from you. You don't see this in the New York Times, the Washington Post, NBC, CBS, ABC. So you probably think there isn't all that much in the way of objections.
See, but it's like he says, it's just been blotted out. I'm getting my class together for epistles today, setting up the Book of Romans, and how we're going to go through some of the history with Simon Magus in Acts chapter 8 and see there how that Satan's goal always, it's always to blot out the truth. In that case, it's to blot out the true church. Satan created this massive counterfeit, this false religious system started by Simon Magus. And then you have that dark period of church history, where, as Mr. Armstrong said, the curtain lowered and you really didn't know what was going on. And then when the curtain lifted, what appeared was a form of Christianity that was not anything like what's revealed in the New Testament. Satan just blotted it out. He's using the propaganda media to carry out his will. None of the evidence is being reported, as Giuliani notes. One last clip from his podcast yesterday, clip 6.
On the other hand, if you're following it or you use the internet quite a bit and are picking this up as the hearings in Georgia and Pennsylvania and Arizona took place, you realize there's a videotape of 100,000 votes plus being stolen in Georgia. It's on tape, live. You can't escape it. It flips the entire state. So this is going to be a very, very substantial argument, a very substantial dispute. It could go a lot of different ways.
It could go a lot of different ways. Today, of course, all eyes will be on Congress, but don't lose sight of the state legislatures and don't lose sight of the Supreme Court either. They haven't really pulled through for the president as yet, but like my father has in the the article here, there's a section on specifically on the Supreme Court in that piece, why Donald Trump will remain America's president. Let me just conclude this segment with a few quotes from that particular article. My father writes, the radical left, this is at the start of the piece, the radical left in America have done everything in their power for the last 4 years to discredit and destroy President Donald Trump. They have spied. They have lied. They have cheated. They have broken laws too numerous to count. They have committed treason, trying to depose the duly elected government. And somehow, President Trump has weathered all those storms. He says, what the left is doing now, all this theater aimed at bullying people into accepting Joe Biden as president, is more of the same. It should come as no surprise. Why should we be surprised that they're cheating, that they're stealing, that there's all this lawlessness? Your Bible says the affliction is so bad that God had to intervene to save Israel. Only God could do this. Not even Jeroboam. Now, God says he did it through the hand of Jeroboam. So he does get specific. There is a specific man that he works through. But it's God's doing. That's what we want to keep our minds on. It says, finally, by most appearances, Joe Biden will be will be America's next president, but I absolutely do not believe that at all. Mr. Trump will weather this storm too, regardless of what the media says or how things look right now. I'm confident Donald Trump will remain president. I'm also certain that there are about to be some of the biggest frauds exposed, perhaps ever. That comes from the latest trumpet. Well, I guess now the February issue is already out. So this is the January issue of the Trumpet magazine. The article, the one we've been promoting in recent weeks, why Donald Trump will remain America's president. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
Do you believe the United States of America has been mainly a positive force in the world for most of its history? Do you believe that America was at one time a great nation? The United States of America was founded on many biblical principles that were incorporated into the Constitution. This lent to its success and positive influence in the world. But the America of then is not the America of today. To anyone examining the current state of America, this should be alarming. It has been a great nation in time past and is experiencing a temporary resurgence in these end times. But it will only be exactly that, temporary. Our free booklet, Great Again, will explain America's status. It will prove that God has been intimately involved in the rise and resurgence of America under President Donald Trump. It will also explain why God is saving America temporarily, how he was doing it, and what is yet to come in America. There is a spiritual dimension to America's rise and decline as a superpower. This free booklet will explain this dimension and how God will soon make America truly great again. Request your free copy of our book, Great Again, at our website, thetrumpet.com.
This is KPCG-FM, And this is the Trumpet Daily.
Tweet here from Jonathan Turley, the attorney that's on TV at times. He's tweeting 9 hours ago. A court had to order Fulton County to remove posters blocking the view of observers and to force the county to allow observers to more closely or to move closer 10 feet. It says, what's astonishing is that the Georgia officials forced such reasonable request to be litigated in the courts. You have these Georgia officials. You have reasonable requests coming forward. Look, can we observe? No, we're doing what you, if you want to get closer, go to court. If you want to get closer, you've got to litigate this. David Schaefer, he's a Georgian Republican. He tweets, outrageous that we must go to court and obtain injunctions to force Fulton County, that's the county around Atlanta, to force them, to force election officials to obey the law. The election officials, they won't obey the law down there. And then these Republicans, they have to go to court to force it. And then a lot of times the court issues the order, as we saw on November 3rd, and they disregard it. They just totally disregard it. God saw the affliction of Israel. He saw that it was very bitter, for there was not any shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel. There was just no help. Couldn't find help anywhere. So what did God do? It says, and the Eternal said not that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. God intervened. God intervened. And yet, as we've said so many times before, the saving, the salvation is just very, very temporary. And it certainly isn't causing a nationwide repentance. Far from it. The sins of Israel continue. In many ways, they're worsening. Our Jerusalem correspondent, Brent Nachtigall, he sent me this piece by Lee Smith today. I guess it was written or posted yesterday. The American elite declares its independence from America. This is by Lee Smith, and he writes about this piece by Thomas Friedman, the New York Times columnist. I think it was written back in 2009, but he's just talking about, you know, the way the left operates. He gets into their thinking, and then he ties in some of the current events of today. And as Brent noted in his summary, in just referring to some of this history regarding Jeroboam the second, the book of Amos, you know about the prophecy in Amos 7. If you don't, I'll refer you to that article in the January issue of The Trumpet. But Amos wrote his book toward the end of Jeroboam II's reign, and what you read about there in Amos 7, it's regarding Jeroboam II historically, but we know that passage is also a prophecy. And what Brent notes in his summary is that this resurgence, and he's basically following on Lee Smith's piece, that this resurgence that happened in Israel historically, that it didn't necessarily filter on down to the ordinary Israelites, and it didn't cure Israel's societal sins. In fact, it empowered the establishment and the elites. And as Brent notes here, for all of Jeroboam's power, and he does have power, and God does back him, he says he was unable to stop the rich establishment from oppressing the everyday, ordinary folks. Now, here's what Lee Smith said in his piece, and I think you can see where Brent was going with his comments. It says, with the unemployment rate at 6.7% and the largest economy in the world in world history in ruins, what could America's ruling class possibly have in store for us next? After it has used the lockdowns to facilitate the largest transfer of wealth in human history. That's what we've seen over the past year. the largest transfer of wealth in human history. And for what? He's talking about wealth going from the middle class, ordinary Americans, to the elites. And we've touched on this in previous programs, just how wealthy Jeff Bezos is, Elon Musk, all of these big tech heavyweights in Silicon Valley. They, I mean, 2020 was boom time for them. Not for the restaurant owners on Main Street. Not at all. He says, after all, it is not the coronavirus, which has a 99.7% survival rate. Let me just repeat that. The coronavirus, COVID-19, which has a 99.7% survival rate. Well, don't get me started on that tack. It says, after all, it's not the coronavirus that has plunged nearly 8 million Americans into poverty over the last 9 months while destroying 40% or more of local stores and restaurants, even in wealthy states like New Jersey. Those numbers are the result of an offensive waged by the American political and corporate elite that aims to legitimize the destruction of private wealth in the name of public health. See, we've got to destroy all of this private wealth. We've got to do it. We've got to do it to save grandma. We've got to do it to save people from dying from coronavirus. I mean, those who catch it have a 0.03% chance of dying. And so everything is shut down. Everything is locked down. Look at what they're doing in the UK. Another lockdown. That's, as I said yesterday, that's to continue through March. An entire year of this. Lee Smith says further on, Friedman's 2009 article is important today because it marks the historical moment early in Obama's first term when a segment of the country's establishment defected en masse from the Republican to the Democrat Party, thus unifying the American elite under a single political banner and enabling them to wage war on the rest of the country. See, there's really no difference. There's really no difference between Stacey Abrams and Gabriel Sterling. They're all the same party, so to speak. They all come from the same elite establishment that says to you, nothing to worry about here. It's been investigated. Can we see the investigation? Can we see the summary? No, never mind. We've looked into it. It's okay. It was a perfect election. Just move on. Just move on from this. Well, what about the Republican losses? Why did that happen? Well, talk to Donald Trump. You can blame Donald Trump. It's the same story right across the board, isn't it? Lee Smith says, and in return for abolishing large sections of the economy, along with large chunks of the U.S. Constitution, what vital matters of state and society has this establishment addressed? And what great innovations has it inspired? Whose poverty has it alleviated by waging war on Americans, by shipping their jobs overseas, and sending their children off to die and kill in pointless military engagements, and by throwing open the country's borders to immigrants, whether legal or illegal, to take the remaining jobs at a time of radical social and economic dislocation? Whose interests does a new wave of immigration serve? The answer isn't American workers or families. It's large corporations who want skilled and unskilled labor on the cheap. All of these large corporations, all of these Silicon Valley billionaires, they're the ones taking in billions during the pandemic. Major media, the propaganda media, ratings booming, salaries increasing. Smith says, no, what will make the coming days worse is even more draconian responses, further intended to impoverish and terrify Americans. And he's talking about what a Biden presidency would add to this. More draconian responses. Here's his conclusion. It says, it's easier to control people when they're scared and poor If the goal is social transformation, which is the term that Biden and Harris use, then it stands to reason that the poorer and more desperate people there are, the better. How about a $600 check from the government in return for us taking away your business and your right to work with no legislative or judicial authority? See, we'll give you $600. Just keep your mouth shut. Just close your business and we'll send you $600. It says, being treated like an animal by dictatorial autocrats and bureaucrats with no reasonable recourse is a normal condition of life in most of the world, just not in America. Not until the political, corporate, cultural, and academic elite of the richest and most powerful country on earth decided they weren't rich and powerful enough and broke their unwritten compact with the rest of society in the hopes of getting richer and more powerful. He says, Lee Smith does, that China isn't the problem. It's us. It's us. The problem is us. The problem is our sickness. The problem is the affliction. America's affliction has not gone away in this Jeroboam end. America's sins have not been repented of in this Jeroboam resurgence. Read about the sickness. Brent referred to several verses in Amos 5. Back up from Amos 7. Look at the sickness in the land that the prophet Amos witnessed in Amos chapter 5. Call our operators today and get that Amos booklet if you haven't reviewed that in a while. Go back to my father's article, the featured article in the January issue of the Trumpet magazine. Look at Isaiah 1 and consider. Isaiah 3 speaks of the upside down world that we're in. Isaiah 1 says that the sickness in Israel, it is complete. It is from the head, that's the government, that's the leadership in the land. It goes from the head all the way through to the little toes, sick and afflicted. You see that, you'll see it even today, sadly. As exciting as it is to see prophecy play out, to see prophecy being fulfilled, what we're also seeing, and this too is prophesied as well, but what we're also seeing is sickness. Sickness, affliction, and division on display. The enemy is not China, it's us. Die by suicide, as Abraham Lincoln said. The sickness within, the civil war within, before the attack from without. Got a couple of minutes. I'll just conclude with comments that have come in from our listeners, if I can get to the right page here in my notes. This one says, just wanted to send a quick note to let you know how informative on every level the Trumpet Daily was this year. This is someone commenting on the end of the year montages that we had and all the programs from 2020. It says, what a blessing it is to have this show so God can use his men to reveal the truth behind every story that happened in the news. We would be really lost without it. Thank you for all the hard work behind the scenes with your crew and yourself. I'm sure it's not easy gathering and proof-checking everything you read before presenting it on the radio. I look forward to 2021 and all that will be exposed, and pray that more of this world can be guided by what's coming from this great work of God. Another one says, thank you. Thanks to you and to the TD staff for another year of broadcasting. What a year 2020 has been. Thank you for your spot-on analysis and commentary. You and your staff did such a wonderful job in covering all that you were able to cover in each program. I always look forward to the Year in Review program of all that happened throughout the year. It really puts everything into perspective. And with all that happened this calendar year, He writes, never has there been a greater need for the world to hear the truth. And the Trumpet Daily does just that. The TD and KPCG is such a blessing to listen to each day. It's such a valuable resource in these dark yet exciting days in history in which we live. Well, that's all that we have time for on today's program. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program with some of your comments, you can reach us at td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.